Kearns neighborhood at 2809 Northeast Sandy Boulevard, an Irish sports pub with lounge areas and a pool table. Katie O'Brien's is open every day from 8 a.m. to 2:30 a.m. Lunch was provided by Revolution Coffee House, located at 1432 Southwest 6th Avenue in Portland, serving breakfast, lunch, desserts, and Mexican coffee only. Grown by fair trade cooperatives of native Mayan farmers living in the highlands of Chiapas, Mexico, and Guatemala. Dinner was provided by Le Happy, located at 1011 Northwest 16th Avenue in Portland. Le Happy serves French cuisine and gourmet crepes from 5 p.m. to midnight every day, with brunch on weekends. Le Happy also hosts private events. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm/give right now.
This is KBOO Portland. Coming up next on Peace, Love, and Soup, Tave and Brian discuss Earth Soup in honor of Earth Day. All of this KBOO programming is made possible by member support. Support our spring membership drive by becoming a member. Just give us a call at 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm and click on Donate.
We do not inherit the earth from our ancestors. We borrow it from our children.
Welcome to Peace, Love, and Soup,
bringing you a significant soup each month along with culture, cooking, and conversation.
Audio nourishment for both the heart and mind.
I like that so much. On April 22nd, the world celebrated Earth Day. People everywhere were reminded to do their part to defend the planet from climate change. Some organizations have even started calling April Earth Month. Henceforth, Brian, this episode is titled Earth Soup.
You know, Tave, this month it's all about sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
First, we're going to be talking to Molly Dice, co-creator, as you know, of Trackers Earth, the Portland organization. They're devoted to teaching children and adults alike nature connection and authentic outdoor skills.
And we're really lucky because Josh Anderson, a member of the First Nation Lillooet tribe and a representative of the Squamish Lillooet Cultural Center in Whistler, British Columbia, has agreed to share with us his people's time-honored traditional respect for the earth.
Peace, Love, and Soup Theater returns with a performance of The Field Trip, an original comic created by Trackers Earth. Stay tuned for that.
And we head out to forage around the city of Portland, Oregon.
My first forage experience.
It's going to be so fun. We're going to be looking for ingredients to make this month's bowl of love, stinging nettle, and dandelion soup. Let's celebrate what the earth gives us.
All this and musical soundscapes.
What more could one human need?
Perhaps peace, love, and soup?
Always peace, love, and soup. Always.
Earth Day and every day, there are simple ways we can all make a difference to counter climate change.
One of them would be to cut down or, if possible, stop using disposable plastic. There's just tons of plastic. Mm. We make bottles and bags and all sorts of things that
end up in the landfill or end up in our sea.
And then in our animals, and if we eat animals, in our own bodies. I know people talk about going vegetarian as one really great way to cut down on greenhouse gas emissions. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But for those of us that don't feel like they can give up meat entirely,
right.
You were telling me about Meatless Monday. Let's hear about that.
Oh, right. I saw that on earthday.org. And basically, you just have to make a pledge to give it up on Mondays, Meatless Monday. Eating less animal protein is better for you.
And better for the earth. Right. And as the Dalai Lama says, he is half vegetarian because he eats meat every other day.
Smart man.
We'd like to welcome to the studio Molly Dice, educator, blogger, mother, and friend. My first introduction to Trackers was nearly a decade ago while working on the documentary Play Again. Soon after, my eldest daughter got involved and is still a part of the Trackers community. Thanks for being with us today, Molly.
Thanks for joining us today, Molly.
Yeah, so, my name is Molly Dice. I work with Trackers Earth. I grew up not necessarily knowing that there was this group of people interested in wilderness survival skills, but my passion came from reading books like the Little House on the Prairie books. Through the adventure of the kids in it, they actually taught you real skills. My Side of the Mountain, with relationships to tanning his own hide and finding food to eat. It was all in there from a pretty easy to access way as a kid.
Wow. Interesting.
Definitely.
I really appreciated self-sufficiency skills, cooking, gardening, being alone in the woods, having that confidence to go outside with my pocket knife and a pack of birthday candles and some matches, my cats trailing behind me, and we'd see what we could find. And a lot of it for me actually did revolve around what you could eat in nature. I didn't know as much about wild edible plants at that point, but we'd be outside for hours picking blackberries, the Oregon wild iris and wild roses and daffodils and those kinds of plants, which aren't indigenous to the area, but were brought in by a pioneer. So there was that remnant of pioneer living that was left behind.
When I was younger, my grandparents lived out past Labiche, north of Salem. My sister and I, we would spend all day out in the cherry orchards and peach orchards, just climbing around in the filbert trees, digging holes. And then when we'd get hungry, you always had something to eat. It was a fun thing.
My dad grew up in Southeast Alaska, so we did a lot of fishing and being connected with the landscape when we went up and visited. My grandmother did wild plant harvesting for foods because they didn't get a lot of fresh produce. All the produce came up on the barges and it was mostly canned, so people up there did a lot of hunting and living off the land.
That's a pretty picture.
We have some other visitors in our studio today. We have Annie and Maxine. That just reminds me of your wonderful blog and the different posts that you've had on youth foraging. Maybe you would talk a little bit about that from a mother's perspective.
For me personally, it is easy to sit inside on the computer and do work and not take the time to go outside, but you can't do that when kids are around. I don't want them to see me on the computer all day long, then they think that's okay. I want them to be outside running around. And one thing that really motivates them is being able to nibble on things. It's a fun thing to do. Their confidence level when they go outside is great. Every day they're going further, they're wanting to do more. It doesn't necessarily matter if it's rainy or cold, and they know when their favorite wild edibles are growing and where to find them, and they just run along with fistfuls of the stuff and eat them. So that's really great to see. One thing that you want to do with kids or adults is make sure you have a really proper identification. We will point out anything that's a toxic lookalike or even just toxic plants, and we say, I don't want you picking this, but this is something you can pick.
What are some things that you might find this time of year that you particularly like?
A few of my favorites, oxalis, which is also called wood sorrel, or we call it sour grass. It's a bright, vibrant green, three-leaf, almost like a clover, but it grows in wooded areas. They have a really sour flavor, almost like a green apple. Mm. Also right now, the dandelion are coming up. That's one of my favorite. You can eat the leaves, you can eat them raw, put them in the salad, you can saute them up, add butter and garlic and all those good flavors. And you can also pick the flower and eat it raw. You can batter it and make a fritter, dandelion wine, and those lots of really fun ways to do dandelion.
I just remember as a kid, I had to cut a large lawn, and those dandelions, I didn't know I could have eaten them all these years.
Right? Nature's providing stuff for young and old alike, for all sorts of palates.
Yeah, absolutely. And talk about different flavors. The dandelions have this really like bitter flavor. The more you eat it, the more your palate becomes adjusted, and it's a really healthy thing. There are other plants out there like miner's lettuce, which is coming up wild in the woods right now, and that's a very mild, sweet, kind of watery edible most people would enjoy eating. And the nettles. We are in the thick of nettle season, and they grow so fast, and you want to pick the younger leaves kind of on the top by plucking the leaf. The sting actually is on the underside of it, and you can see the little barbs. So if you pluck the leaf from the top and don't touch the underside, and then fold in the leaves on top of those barbs and squish them around a little bit, you can eat it raw without having to worry about getting stung. When you pick nettle, of course, wearing gloves is a must, and that's not necessarily one to do with little kids. We've tried that, and there were some tears, and we didn't finish that project at the time.
I know when I was pregnant, I always had iron poor blood, so my midwife had said, drink a lot of nettle tea. But it wasn't until I had already had kids that I realized, oh, we can just pick nettles and use them like spinach.
Yeah, nettles are great. You can use them on a lot of different things. Tea, like Tave said, and that was actually my first introduction to nettles as well, and I really enjoyed the flavor. And gosh, with nettle in the past, I have made nettle pesto, nettle patties. It's like a spinach patty, but instead of the spinach, you add the nettle. We have friends that have made nettle pastas, nettle gnocchi, nettle raviolis. There's a lot you can do with nettle. And even just adding it to something that you're stir frying is a really great way of using it.
Or in a soup.
In a soup. Actually, I was gonna save that one. But yeah, nettle soup, where basically you could use it as a substitute for any kind of greens, kale, spinach, and any kind of soup. But you could also make a really nice, thick, blended soup with it.
And maybe even it would make sense to try putting some of the dandelion greens in with it, too.
That would be really tasty and probably give a lot of really great flavor and a variety of nutrients. I think it would be a great idea.
Being a mother and an educator, how do you inspire the next generation to really care about the earth and to want to be sustainable?
I think kids already have an empathy for the natural world. We just have conversations about it and foster those conversations. We'll bring it up with a perspective of, well, isn't this nice that it's here? Being respectful of where we step, if we're picking plants or trimming wood for arrow shafts or friction fire kits, if you ask a question, well, how can we do this in a respectful way? Enabling them to just think about it a little bit more in their lives. As they get older, they ask more questions, and then they pick up the passion for conservation and the environment. We live in a rural setting and there's logging that happens, and the kids will comment, I'm really sad that those trees are being cut down. We'll talk about the tree and how long it's been there, what it means to the birds and the environment. And actually, this kind of sad thing happened yesterday. We had these 8 ducklings hatch out. I had to leave for the day. We had a hen who was also sitting on eggs, and she had hopped off and gone outside, and I didn't want to lock her out, so I left it open and got home, and this raven was flying out of the barnyard with a little duckling in its mouth, and I went to the nest, and every single duckling was gone. I was devastated, and I felt bad for the mama duck. She had sat on this nest for 35 plus days without any problems. It just happened to be this day. The ravens or the coyotes or bears that might come through every now and then and grab a duck or grab a chicken. We live in their neighborhood. We live in their backyard. They don't live in my backyard. So I have to remind myself their babies are going to have a good start this spring. It's a sad situation, but it's happened, and it's just concepts that you dialogue with the kids so that they can experience that and be thinking about it as they go through life. As they move through the landscape, it's not just about going hiking or going backpacking. And I think by noticing plants and animals, you build a relationship. And that creates diversity and awareness, I think, for the environment and your world around you. Another really cool thing is that my kids pass on their passion. Grandparents who might not be as keen as dandelions in their lawn, but now aren't going to put pesticides on their lawn because they want to have that safe space for the kids to play. That brings the rings out a little bit further with who you're touching. And I think that every time we have kids and adults who find that passion and connection with what's going on around them in the natural world, they're going to be impassioned to share and conserve and protect and ask what I can do to protect the space that has meant so much to me.
It's going to make me start crying. Were you involved in the Trackers comics?
Yeah, it's really exciting because we've been doing the live action version of what these books are or will be in our camp programs for years and years. So we're trying to capture the excitement that a kid has when they come to a week of camp and they go home and they want that excitement to continue on. So our hope is that they'll be able to take the fictional books or even the guidebooks and, you know, really bring their moms and their dads and their grandparents and their siblings into this conversation. I'm helping to write one of the books, and in it I do talk about real farm life things. You know, what do goats do? How something might behave, how cheese is made, you know, similar to A Little House on the Prairie, what inspired me. But if you were a kid reading it, you might say, oh, that's kind of how that's done. And playing the story, I'll be able to do some of those things as well.
I love it. That's so we're going to do one of the comics as radio theater.
I will be really excited to hear that.
Thank you so much, Molly, for coming in and talking to us.
Mommy, get out of this.
Would you like to be interviewed for our radio show? What's your name?
Annie.
Great. And how old are you?
4. I eat grass.
Well, what have you picked that you think might be good in a soup?
Blueberries, raspberries, and huckleberries, and blackberries, salmon berries, oxalis, and miner's lettuce.
Now's the time for Peace, Love, and Soup Theater.
Oh, goody. Trackers Kids, Issue 1, Page 9. The Field Trip.
Class, this is stinging nettle. Don't touch. It's poisonous.
Actually, you can't touch. Pinch like this, and you won't get stung.
Look at that.
Steamer saute them, and they lose their sting. You can even make stinging nettle tea.
Ooh. The coyote tracks. Let's see where they go.
Actually, the track has no claws and an M-shaped back pad. It's a cougar, not a coyote.
Cougar?
A cougar, not a coyote.
You hear it? Hear the call of the dark-eyed junco.
Actually, that's a Douglas squirrel alarming.
Because we're off trail in its territory.
We're lost.
Actually, we can find our way back pretty easily.
Find north.
It's lunchtime, so the sun is south of us. North is that way.
Okay.
Backtrack.
We follow cougar tracks in, let's follow our tracks out.
Right.
Story mapping.
There's the elephant tree. The bus is around the corner.
Here we go. Let's get on the bus. Don't trip.
Later that day, back at school.
Josh and Fiona are in charge of all future field trips.
Hmm.
I'm going home to make nettle tea.
Let's ring the bell.
You're listening to Peace, Love, and Soup. And actually, you're kind of listening to Peace, Love, and Soup live right now because I am here in the KBOO studio with my co-host and friend, Brian Delaney, who just came over from answering the phones. Hi, Brian.
Good morning, Tave. So nice to see you again live.
It's such a treat to have you on either side of the phone, both answering as well as receiving for our wonderful spring drive that's going on here at KBOO. Give us a call at 877-500-5266 and keep this kind of independent programming on the air. I know you want to. You want to hear more of that radio theater. You want to hear more about what's going on in the world. And so call us at 877-500-5266 or go online to kboo.fm because we have a very special gift that we're giving away. Tell them, Brian.
Oh, yes. Well, you just heard an interview with Molly Dice from Trackers Earth. She has so generously offered an exclusive special offer. And that includes?
That includes, there's the Trackers Earth Guide to Knives and Wood Carving, and we're packaging it together with a one-day camp or class for any age group.
Any age group.
It could be preschooler all the way up to someone in their 100s. They have classes inside as well as outside, stuff that goes out on field trips. They go foraging. They have blacksmithing camps. They have stuff called baby dragons and other things like that as well. So for the first caller who calls and pledges $300, you are going to get that combination gift, the Trackers Earth Guide to Knives and Wood Carving, along with a one-day certificate for camp. That's a no strings attached. You just get it. It's not pay something and have a discount. It's a real one-day camp or class complimentary with that book for $300 one-time donation here to KBOO. And if you want to split it up, you can do it in $25 a month payments by calling 877-500-5266 or going online to kboo.fm here in Portland.
Right. I mean, Molly Dice and Trackers Earth are all about creating a community and enriching a community like KBOO Radio, Well, correct. And like peace, love, and soup, for that matter.
Exactly.
We're all on the same page. Don't you agree?
Exactly. We're all around that big community table together. Won't you join us?
Please.
I want you to come, and I want you to even have seconds. So come to kboo.fm and hit that big red donate button. Come down to see us here at 8th, just a little south of Burnside on the east side, or call us at 877-500-5266. We have other ways to say thank you to you, from coffee if you come down, to various other thank you gifts at lower levels. But if you really want to just stand up and say, yeah, this is what makes a difference to me, community radio and these sorts of community organizations like Trackers Earth, and teaching our kids how to do stuff that's going to stay with them for the whole rest of their lives, encouraging reading, encouraging listening to the radio, call us, 877-500-5266, and say, I'm going to put a $300 donation down. And then we are going to thank you with that combination guide to knives and wood carving so you don't cut yourself. And
I had the pleasure this morning of speaking with some wonderful people that kindly offered support for KBOO. And I was working with Fionn, Al, Ray on the board, and Monica. And yes, the phones are starting to ring again. Thank you. Thank you.
It's exciting.
Yeah, but it's a different being on this side of the microphone.
So, and actually, Ariel Andrea called from Milwaukee to say thank you and that she is a new donor.
Can we ring the bell? That's
yes,
right in front of me.
Ring that bell. Hey.
I've never rung the bell.
One other thing is, Brian and I make our own sound effects. That's a real one right there. So thank you so much for your donation from Milwaukee. KBOO Radio, it isn't just here in Portland. We go out to all those other radio stations, our sister stations throughout Oregon. And if you listen online at kboo.fm, you can hear us from absolutely anywhere in the world. One of the things that is so important to us is being able to also offer programming in other languages. And mm-hmm. Brian and I have even dabbled in that as well.
Si, si. Señorita.
We have in June, if you stick around, we're going to have our Spanish-English language episode, which will be up for Gay Pride Month, and that's a really neat thing. And then we have one later, I think that was one of our most recent ones, Playa Soup, where we have a little bit of dabbling in and out of Spanish. This afternoon, you'll hear more Spanish language programming, as well as all sorts of other things. You're going to hear music, you're going to hear poetry, you're going to hear political interest topics and things that are being spoken about in other languages as well as English, and things that are important to you. And because I know it makes a difference to you, I want you to call and let us know. 877-500-5266, kboo.fm. Brian, tell them how much.
Oh, it's a simple donation of $25 a month. Mm-hmm. That's not even a dinner. And you can stay at home and make our soup. Or a one-time donation of $300. That's up to you. Please support KBOO Radio.
Yeah, like you said before, you're going to be saving money by making soup at home,
exactly.
And you're going to just have a warm heart. So thank you. Give us a call, 877-500-5266. Take it away, Ray. Stick around with us.
Foraging ethics. Forage only in areas where the plants are plentiful. If there is only one or a few plants, continue on. Don't rob plants of all their leaves and berries.
Forage sustainably with an awareness of the greater ecosystem. Leave the plant to grow stronger each year. Be considerate of the role the plants play in the lives of animals nearby. Is this their food you're taking?
Do no harm when harvesting. Pick leaves, don't break branches. Move through tall grasses rather than trampling or whacking a path. You are a visitor to the land, not the landlord.
Be safe. Don't pick within sight or downhill of roads. Avoid areas of pollution and contaminated runoff.
Into the wood.
Well, here we are at Kelly Point, Tave, looking for nettles and dandelions.
Here we are, out foraging.
Oh, look, there's one over there.
Hold on a second. Let's double check. Leaves are opposite, and then another row opposite the other way. And I see the stingers on the bottom. Pinch like this, and you won't get stung. Let me taste one.
Oh, you're eating one. Look how brave you are. You're using the method Molly taught us.
I know.
How does it taste?
It tastes fresh. A little bit like watercress, maybe?
Oh, okay.
But also kind of like a hay taste. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
You didn't get stung.
No, you just pinch over on each other, pinch the stingers underneath, and then just put it in your mouth.
different than everything else we're seeing.
I
see?
Don't think that's it.
I mean, it has the things
on
the bottom.
Oh, no, this
is
definitely not it, because look, it's like it's climbing. That's a climber. Here's some more.
Right under the tree.
Another nice one.
Oh, but look at him.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like we're at the farmer's market, and we should decide. Oh, yes, this I like. This I don't like.
There's so much out here. I'm so excited about this.
Mushrooms. I don't know anything about those.
So, guys, we just went on Reddit and found where to look for nettles currently in Portland. And, you know, thank you, community, for providing the answers. We came right to Kelly Point.
Kelly Point, and we didn't know where in Kelly Point. We just walked out, and boom, they're all over.
And here are our dandelions. Should we grab these?
Yeah, let's get some of these dandelions, too.
Right.
Oh, because we want the leaves. That's a nice young one, too. I'm going to taste a little bit of these greens right now. The dandelion greens are definitely more bitter.
The ones I got at the farmer's market are really red at the root.
Now then, what was Molly saying? We could just eat the flower, too?
She did. I don't think you can eat
the stem.
Sappy stem
part. Oh, got it.
Yeah.
So pull the flower off of the stem. Hmm. Subtle. Kind of a nice little...
like an edible flower.
It's delicate. I like this idea of taking the dandelion petals and sprinkling them over the top of the soup as a garnish.
It's going to be really pretty with the green of the soup and the yellow of the flower.
Definitely.
Well, that was super productive.
Yeah. Who would have known? We were able to find everything we were talking about.
Well, now that we've foraged for our soup, let's say we go back to your house and cook this out.
Yeah, Peace, Love, and Soup is out of the forest and into the kitchen.
You're listening to Peace, Love, and Soup.
So here we are in the kitchen, and we're going to make our nettle dandelion soup. We've got our water boiling for the nettles, and we are chopping up our onion and dicing our garlic as we wait. You really are a good sous chef.
Thank you. It's a zen relaxation for me as well. Mincing and chopping, getting everything into their little piles.
Tavi's just digging right into the dandelion, removing the petals from the flower. You want to just explain your process?
Well, I just took kind of like when you're a kid, if you're ever out playing where there's clover and you just kind of pick the flower part and pull and you get all the petals. And then at the bottom, there's like this just little bit of nectar, the little juicy sweet parts. And so I'm just pulling that whole chunk of petals out at once and getting rid of all of the green part and not using any stem. So I liked your idea of putting some of the petals right into the soup and cooking them. And then I thought to have it be pretty, I thought it'd be fun we could take and just sprinkle some of the flowers on the top.
You know, I have to just well, dandelions on my brain. I was talking to my mother the other day, and she was like, well, what are you guys doing this month? And I told her about the dandelion. She goes, you know, her mother would send her to the neighbor's yard to like forage for dandelions when she was a kid.
We're also taking the greens, these nice long tender leaves. We're just snipping off the bottoms of them, you know, where they got closer to the ground, and getting those ready too. We're just going to rinse off our nettles. And then with our water boiled, we're all set to put our nettles in. I'm gonna toss these in. Just stir it around and blanch them quickly. And this will take out the sting. And then we're just going to snip the stems off and discard the thicker ones.
So, Tave, I've been long suffering from knee injury that I got from a moped accident when I was about 16. And my acupuncturist said that old injuries usually come back to haunt us if they haven't been treated correctly. So then online with the stinging nettles, I saw that they use it for arthritis and for joint pain. So I'm going to take the stingers and intentionally sting my knee and see if it relieves any of the dull pain that I feel.
I love this, Dr. Delaney.
And I'm also starting with a very small nettle, because yesterday when I got stung, I felt it through the whole day. You too, right?
I had just one little patch on the back of my hand, and it was odd because I didn't even know it at the time. And then later I was like, oh, what's that warm sensation? And it reminded me of that little bit of information that we'd gotten about soldiers purposely stinging themselves to warm themselves.
Oh, I can feel it. You see it all getting red.
Look at that. Does it feel good?
I'm glad I went small.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad I didn't grab one of those big leaves because, yeah, it's just stinging all around. All right, well, we'll check back in on that.
You know how that goes.
You do have insurance.
I do have insurance, so if something drastically goes wrong, Tave, it's in my wallet.
And you can just see it's just lightly boiling there. We're going to just take our nettles out of the pot. So about a half a pound of nettles looks like it cooks down like spinach to approximately 2 cups cooked. And we can just totally touch this now. There's no fear of getting stung. And bonus, we're going to get to use this water as some nettle tea. We're just going to quickly rinse the cooked nettles in a little bit of cold water. And then interestingly enough, the stems, it looks like all of ours are going to be keepers, and we're tasting them and they actually taste just like kale. So on a medium heat, we have the olive oil in our saucepan. We're going to put these onions in and the garlic. There we go. And just stir those around for a few minutes. Brian, what do you think of these?
Ooh, yeah. They're almost translucent. Perfect.
So we'll put those dandelion greens in now, add in our rice. And we're going to add all 8 cups of our vegetable stock. And also, we're going to put in our blanched nettles, which we decided to not even chop. Stir that up really well, and then we're going to bring it to a boil. So it's all boiling, and we're just going to put our dandelion petals in now, saving some out for a garnish. Just turn the burner down to simmer, and cook it for about another 10 to 15 minutes until the rice is tender, with it covered. While this was simmering, I took some wild mint that's growing near my roses, and we mixed it in with our nettle broth and made some iced tea up. And then in addition to that, tell them about what you found at the farmer's market.
Oh, right. So I brought the miner's lettuce since we weren't successful finding it in nature yesterday.
Miner's lettuce looks like something out of a Dr. Seuss book with this tall little thing sticking out of it. It looks like a small tree.
It is so delicious. It's a cross between like a tiny butter lettuce and a sprout. And we threw together a quick salad with some other herbs you found in your garden, mint and sorrel. And the sorrel has that nice kind of tart apple flavor. All of these things are available right now out there in the wild.
Everything is simmered. And now we're going to ladle it into the food processor, puree it up, and we'll be all set to eat. This is my grandmother's old food processor. It's just a workhorse. That looks good.
Green goodness. All right, so now we're in the tasting and testing and seeing what we need more of stage of our cooking process. Now, I really like how the rice gives it a creamy yet light sort of dairy-free consistency, because you do taste the little morsels of rice. A hint more salt for me. What do you think?
I mean, you and I seem to like a little salt.